In recent weeks and months, we have seen a shocking increase in extremist disruption and criminality. What started as protests on our streets has descended into intimidation, threats, and planned acts of violence. Jewish children fearful to wear their school uniform, lest it reveal their identity. Muslim women abused in the street for the actions of a terrorist group they have no connection with. Now our democracy itself is a target. Council meetings and local events have been stormed. MPs do not feel safe in their homes. Long-standing parliamentary conventions have been upended because of safety concerns. And it is beyond alarming that last night the Rochdale by-election returned a candidate who dismisses the horror of what happened on October the 7th, who glorifies Hezbollah and is endorsed by Nick Griffin, the racist former leader of the BNP. I need to speak to you all this evening because this situation has gone on long enough and demands a response not just from government, but from all of us. Britain is a patriotic, liberal, democratic society with a proud past and a bright future. We're a reasonable country and a decent people. Our story is one of progress, of great achievements and enduring values. Immigrants who have come here have integrated and contributed. They have helped write the latest chapter in our island story. They have done this without being required to give up their identity. You can be a practicing Hindu and a proud Briton, as I am, or a devout Muslim and a patriotic citizen, as so many are, or a committed Jewish person and the heart of your local community, and all underpinned by the tolerance of our established Christian church. We are a country where we love our neighbours, and we are building Britain together. But I fear that our great achievement in building the world's most successful multi-ethnic, multi-faith democracy is being deliberately undermined. There are forces here at home trying to tear us apart. Since October the 7th, there have been those trying to take advantage of the very human angst that we all feel about the terrible suffering that war brings to the innocent, to women and children, to advance a divisive, hateful ideological agenda. On too many occasions recently, our streets have been hijacked by small groups who are hostile to our values and have no respect for our democratic traditions. Membership of our society is contingent on some simple things: that you abide by the rule of law, and that change can only come through the peaceful democratic process. Threats of violence and intimidation are alien to our way of doing things. They must be resisted at all times. Nearly everyone in Britain supports these basic values, but there are small and vocal hostile groups who do not. Islamist extremists and the far right feed off and embolden each other. They are equally desperate to pretend that their violence is somehow justified, when actually these groups are two sides of the same extremist coin. Neither group accept that change in our country can only come through the peaceful democratic process. Both loathe the pluralist modern country we are. Both want to set Britain against Britain, to weaponize the evils of anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hatred for their own ends. The faith of Islam, peacefully practiced by millions of our fellow citizens, is emphatically not the same thing as the extremist political ideology of Islamism, which aims to separate Muslims from the rest of society. Islamist extremists and far-right groups are spreading a poison. That poison is extremism. It aims to drain us of our confidence in ourselves as a people and in our shared future. They want us to doubt ourselves, to doubt each other, to doubt our country's history and achievements. They want us to accept a moral equivalence between Britain and some of the most despicable regimes in the world. They want us to believe that our country, and the West more generally, is solely responsible for the world's ills, and that we, along with our allies, are the problem. In short, they want to destroy our confidence and hope. We must not allow that to happen. When these groups claim that Britain is and has been on the wrong side of history, we should reject it and reject it again. No country is perfect. But I am enormously proud of the good that our country has done. Our place in history is defined by the sacrifices our people have made in the service of their own freedom and that of others. And when these groups tell our children that they cannot and will not succeed because of who they are, when they tell children that the system is rigged against them or that Britain is a racist country, this is not only a lie, but a cynical attempt to crush young dreams and turn impressionistic minds against their own society. I stand here as our country's first non-white prime minister, leading the most diverse government in our country's history, to tell people of all races, all faiths, and all backgrounds, it is not the colour of your skin, the God you believe in, or where you were born that will determine your success, but just your own hard work and endeavour. And we must be prepared to stand up for our shared values in all circumstances, no matter how difficult. And I respect that the police have a tough job in policing the protests we have seen, and that they are operationally independent. But we must draw a line. Yes, you can march and protest with passion. You can demand the protection of civilian life. But no, you cannot call for violent jihad. There is no context in which it can be acceptable to beam anti-Semitic tropes onto Big Ben in the middle of a vote on Israel-Gaza. And there can be no cause that you can use to justify the support of a proscribed terrorist group like Hamas. And yes, you can freely criticise the actions of this government, or indeed any government. That is a fundamental democratic right. But no, you cannot use that as an excuse to call for the eradication of a state or any kind of hatred or anti-Semitism. This week, I've met with senior police officers and made clear it is the public's expectation that they will not merely manage these protests, but police them. And I say this to the police: we will back you when you take action. But if we are asking more of the police, we in government must also back up that call with action. To that end, this month the government will implement a new, robust framework for how it deals with this issue, to ensure that we are dealing with the root causes of this problem and that no extremist organisations or individuals are being lent legitimacy by their actions and interactions with central government. You cannot be part of our civic life if your agenda is to tear it down. We will redouble our support for the Prevent programme to stop young minds being poisoned by extremism. We will demand that universities stop extremist activity on campus. We will also act to prevent people entering this country whose aim is to undermine its values. The Home Secretary has instructed that if those here on visas choose to spew hate or protest or seek to intimidate people, we will remove their right to be here. And our Britain must not be a country in which we descend into polarised camps, with some communities living parallel lives. It is not enough to live side by side. We must live together, united by shared values and a shared commitment to this country. And I want to speak directly to those who choose to continue to protest. Don't let the extremists hijack your marches. You have a chance in the coming weeks to show that you can protest decently, peacefully, and with empathy for your fellow citizens. Let us prove these extremists wrong and show them that even when we disagree, we will never be disunited from our common values of decency and respect. I love this country. My family and I owe it so much. The time has now come for us all to stand together to combat the forces of division and beat this poison. We must face down the extremists who would tear us apart. There must be leadership, not pandering or appeasement. When they tell their lies, we will tell the truth. When they try and sap our confidence, we will redouble our efforts. And when they try and make us doubt each other, we will dig deeper for that extra ounce of compassion and empathy that they want us to believe doesn't exist, but that I know does. If we do that, we can build on our great achievement in creating today's Britain, a country of kind, decent, tolerant people. We can make this a country in which we all feel a renewed sense of pride. This is our home. So let us go forward together, confident in our values and confident in our future.
I'm standing here at George Galloway's campaign headquarters. George Galloway, did you just watch the Prime Minister's speech?
I didn't watch it, but I understood the first part of it related to the Rochdale by-election.
The Prime Minister has just said that the election of you to Parliament is beyond horrifying. What do you say to that?
Well, I can understand how disappointed he is
about the by-election. The Conservative Party, which is the government of the country, was crushed, not just by me, but by an independent candidate that no one had ever heard of before outside of Rochdale. So it was a disastrous night for the Conservatives and a disastrous night for Labour. I got more votes than Labour and the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats and the Reform Party put together, which adds up to a pretty crushing rejection of the two-party system. So I understand why he's alarmed.
I want you to address some of the specifics that the Prime Minister said about you this evening. He said that you backed Hezbollah. Is that true?
I don't know what that means, backed Hezbollah. I oppose Israel's occupation of Lebanon, and I respect the right of people in occupied territory to resist their occupier. And I've done so since Hezbollah was formed and Israel occupied much of Lebanon, right up to the Litani River, regularly bombing Beirut and so on. So I'm not sure what business that is of his, because, you see,
Hezbollah are a terrorist organisation.
Actually, they're part of the government of Lebanon, a country with which we have sovereign diplomatic relations. I had this debate with Sky's Anna Botting in 2006. It's quite an epic clip. You should watch it. More than 100 million people have. They said all these things about me in the by-election. And in the by-election, it was them that got crushed in the democratic process. So I'm not sure why he would reheat it now.
The Prime Minister is saying
that
you are...
We talk as if this is God. We're talking about little Rishi Sunak in the fag end of his prime ministership. Don't talk to me as if he's come down from the mount with tablets of stone. The things that he says are somehow meant to owe me. They may owe you, they don't owe me.
A lot of people have just watched what the Prime Minister said. This is your opportunity to respond to what he said.
Well,
he says that there are forces here at home trying to tear us apart. He is implying you are a divisive figure.
Well,
you have run an election campaign that has tried to appeal, particularly, one section of the community.
Who won the election? Me or Rishi Sunak? I've got the democratic mandate here, not Rishi Sunak. He didn't even come second. He was lucky to come third. So don't put to me statements made by Rishi Sunak as if I'm supposed to be impressed by them. He don't impress me much.
We at Sky have spent some time today on the streets of Rochdale, and there are people who say that they feel intimidated by people like you and the people that have supported you.
They have pointed out
that you have concentrated your campaign on foreign affairs, and they worry that Rochdale will not be the winner.
That's my answer to you. I was just elected with a thumping majority by the electorate in Rochdale. That's all that matters to me.
So why are there people in the streets of Rochdale today worried?
Well, people voted yesterday, and they voted for me. Why is that difficult for you to grasp?
Why are there people on the streets worried?
There may be people who didn't vote for me who are worried, but the majority the thumping majority, voted for me. I've got the mandate, and I'm going to the House of Commons with it.
And it's a mandate, you think, to do what? Because there are people that listen to what you say, what you say about whether or not Israel has a right to exist, what you say about what many Jewish people think are threatening slogans.
We had this conversation last night. Why are you reheating it?
Because in the light of the Prime Minister's
Don't keep
statement.
Telling me about the Prime Minister as if he was Moses.
Do you not respect the Prime Minister?
Do I respect the Prime Minister? I despise the Prime Minister. And guess what? Guess what? Millions and millions and millions of people in this country despise the Prime Minister. I don't respect the Prime Minister at all.
What are you planning to do next week when you arrive in Parliament?
Well, I'm meeting the Speaker on Monday morning, and then I'll be introduced and sworn in. I'll be escorted by the Right Honourable David Davis MP, former Deputy Leader of the Conservative Party. I don't know why he would do that if he thought I was the kind of man you're clearly implying that I am. David Davis is one of the great parliamentarians of today and this age. And I'll be taking my seat in the House of Commons and speaking for the people of Rochdale. That's what I was elected to do.
And what is your message also to Keir Starmer?
My message to Keir Starmer is that the skids are under you in scores of Labour seats up and down the country, because you've lost the trust, you've lost the confidence of millions of your traditional loyal voters.
Now, we have now had an election where two of the candidates have alleged intimidation. The Prime Minister referenced that intimidation in his address
on
the steps
referring
of
to the Prime Minister as if that's supposed to impress me. The Prime Minister is the Prime Minister is a rather diminished and degraded politician. He made a party political statement. I don't care about Rishi Sunak's attitude. What I care about is that the returning officer, a man of unimpeachable integrity, I'm sure you'll agree, declared it a free and fair election, and me as the winner, and Rishi Sunak as one of the crushed two big parties in the state.
So why are two? So why are two candidates?
Keep repeating the same questions to me because I have other people to talk to. So let's make this the last one, shall we?
We got a party to go with.
Allegations of intimidation. Allegations that your supporters intimidated other candidates.
What times you've said that? The returning officer declared it last night. You were there as a free and fair election, and me as the winner.
And the Electoral Commission today have said that they're
going to
look and talk to the parties.
You have to just suck it up. I won the election.
George Galloway, thank you very much indeed. That was George Galloway with his supporters now shouting bye-bye. Live on Sky News with his first reaction to the address by the Prime Minister. You can see some of the reaction to the way that George Galloway has responded to the Prime Minister's speech, to that extraordinary Friday night address on the steps of Downing Street. And you can see some of the atmosphere that I think the people of Rochdale have experienced themselves during this by-election over the last few days.
Whistle politics from our establishment politicians.
And you can see the febrile atmosphere and the anger in this room about an hour before a rally, a victory party for George Galloway's election is due to start.
We love our politicians.
And you can hear the raw emotion addressed at other politicians and at others that criticise them. I think you've got in this room a flavour of the politics right now in Rochdale that this constituency has been witnessing for the last few weeks. And you can see the way.
Free,
and that,
free,
I think,
free,
sums up
Palestine,
some
free,
of the campaigning
free,
that we have seen.
Free.